The reading today is from Galatians 5, 16 to 26. Life by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, with each other. So you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against all things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
The young woman stood on a small platform, towering high above the crowd. Away in the distance, partially cloaked in darkness, was another tiny platform. And between the two platforms loomed an intimidating abyss and a long silver strand, seemingly leading nowhere. Her hands were clammy in fear. She stood erect and faced the wire, with her heart racing. She closed her eyes and looked deep into her soul, finding strength and determination that seemed to flow from a special source. Still longing to remain safe, she slowly filled and emptied her lungs and gazed at the wire stretched out in front of her. Then she did it. She prayed and she carefully stepped onto the wire. First with one foot, then the other. And keeping in step, she soon got to the halfway point, suspended in space, and feeling as if she were free to spread her arms and take flight. But the ever-present danger on every side made her yearn for the security of the metal platform. Finally reaching her destination, she bowed her head and thanked God and breathed a deep sigh of relief. My friends, God calls on us to keep walking the high wire of Christian freedom, balanced between playing it safe and living it carelessly. What God is asking sometimes seems scary and impossible. Paul, however, reassures us that our walk can be filled with internal peace if we will only let the Holy Spirit help us. So this morning my talk has two headings. Our responsibility to keep in step with the Spirit consistently, and secondly, our responsibility to keep feeding on the Word of God. The title is Life by the Spirit and the Responsive Heart. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And the command is repeated again in verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is a conscious process that has to go on as we go about our daily activities. It means submitting ourselves to the influence of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. Such submission can begin each day with a simple heartfelt prayer. Now, I believe Henry Sibthorpe had some connection with the opening of this chapel all those years ago. And this was the prayer he gave to me 35 years ago. Lord, I realize that I cannot succeed in living a holy life without your help. And so I want to submit myself now to the Holy Spirit's influence. Let me walk in the Spirit and be led by him at all times. Henry went on to give me the following advice as well, that as I started in high office in the Gideons, that I should surround myself with seven men that I could trust to pray regularly for me. And those seven men, now reduced to six, continue to be my prayer partners. I encourage you likewise to surround yourself with people who will pray, not just say they will pray, but who will actually pray for and with you. I make it a habit to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of each and every day. And I'd like all of you to make it your personal habit as well. And when you pray such a prayer, you can be confident that God will answer it because of what our Lord Jesus himself promised about the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask for it? Sorry. You should not expect to experience a sudden rushing mighty wind filling your soul. As you walk in the Spirit, you will still feel normal, that you are the one doing all you... Sorry, I'm going to have to have some water. Thanks, Karen. Thank you. Yeah. As you walk in the Spirit, you will still feel normal. That you are the one doing all your usual routine work throughout the day. The difference is that you will find an unusual ability that you did not have on your own before to produce the full fruit of the Spirit, which is mentioned in verses 22 and 23. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, he produces spiritual fruit. That's like a cluster of grapes. The cluster has nine virtues, and they will brighten our lives. The first three, love, joy, and peace, concern our relationship to God. He is our first love and our first joy. And because of him, we are at peace. The next three, patience, kindness, goodness, describe our relationship with other people. We will seek their best and put up with their worst. And the final three, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, concern our own relationship. We are able to master our passions and maintain a godly lifestyle. Beside these things, when you walk in the Spirit, you will also find that you have an enhanced desire to obey God and to please him, rather than to please yourself in whatever you do. But this walk in the Spirit has to be maintained. The word used in verse 25, for keeping in step with the Spirit, can also be translated as walking in the Spirit. This idea is similar to marching on parade. When you march in a parade, you need to consciously keep doing one thing all the time. Be sure that you're always in step with the rest of the men on parade. I think it's something that the British do so well. Whatever it is, Queen's funeral, Charles's coronation, watching those soldiers and other people marching. If you are out of step, you will stand out from the rest like a sore thumb, and the eyes of everyone in the audience will be on you. And so you need to get back into step immediately. Otherwise, you will risk spoiling the whole parade. So let us apply this to walking in the Spirit. How do you know that you have got out of step with the Holy Spirit? Well, when you find yourself lapsing back into thoughts and actions that are worldly, sinful, and unworthy of Christ, the appearance of any of the works of the flesh that are mentioned in verses 19 to 21, and what a contrast between the Message reading and the NIV reading, means that you have fallen out of step with the Holy Spirit. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. When you realize that any of these are present, even in your thoughts, you should get back in step with the Spirit. So how do you do this? By confessing your sins to God and praying once more to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The ideal solution is that you should walk in the Spirit at all times, without any lapses, and it is your responsibility to keep in step with the Spirit as much as possible. A second point, the responsibility to keep feeding on the Word of God. In order to yield to the Spirit of God, it is also our responsibility to keep reading and learning from the Word of God. Let us remember that the Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6, 17. And in Hebrews 4, verse 12, we read, the Spirit of God uses his sharp two-edged sword to convict you of sins that are displeasing to him, and that have caused you to fall out of step with him. You also need to read the scriptures daily, because the Spirit of God often uses this to lead and direct you to do his specific will for you. And this is one of the wonderful results of being led by the Holy Spirit. He will show you what you need to do and the way that he wants you to take. And how does he do this? It may come while you are reading a passage of scripture, prayerfully, and even one that you have read many times before. But unlike the previous times that you read it, certain verses seem to stand out this time and be personally directed at you. And you wonder why it is so, but you should not rule out the possibility that the Holy Spirit is leading you through his word. If the same thing happens a few more times as you read the scriptures prayerfully, this is very likely to be from the Holy Spirit and not your own imagination. He is using his word to guide and direct you in what you should be doing. Then you will obey the Holy Spirit's leading. This has been the testimony of many dedicated men of God. In similar ways, the Holy Spirit may use his word to guide you in making some important but perplexing decisions in your life. And it was while reading the scriptures 2.5 years ago, I felt the Holy Spirit directing me to come and help you and to encourage you. And the way to confirm that is his leading and not something else. It is through repeated occurrences of the very same thoughts from his word. Another way that the Holy Spirit leads is through memorized verses of scripture. That's why Jennifer and I constantly wish to pass on a memorized verse each time we're standing up here. If you have memorized certain verses of scripture and treasured them up in your heart, you may find that the most appropriate verses come to your mind when you are dealing with a situation where you need the Holy Spirit's guidance. Now, I've told this story a number of times down the years when I've been standing up here. It's about when I'm down on audit in Dorset at a solicitor's office. And every year I would speak to mums and toddlers at Weymouth Baptist Church. And on this particular Wednesday when I was down there, I thought that's what I was going to be doing again. Only to be told, no, John, it's not at the Baptist Church. You're down at the Anglican Church, the other end of the promenade. So we need to get going. Now, I've prepared a talk for mums and toddlers, and I find I'm going to be speaking to the church leaders of the West Country, including Ian Coffey. And as I wander along saying, God, please forgive me, help me, give me a word for these people. And into my mind came a passage in Genesis and a passage in the prophets on intercessory prayer. I asked the vicar if I could have 5 minutes in his vestry while I quickly jotted down some headings. And then I stood up and spoke, trembling, to all these people sitting in front of me. And Ian Coffey, bless him, gave me a book which he'd just bought entitled Not Evangelical Enough. And he signed it. But that's the importance. If you haven't memorized scripture, the Holy Spirit cannot bring it back when you need it most, whatever the situation. That was there in my heart. And I would never have thought of either of those passages as I walked along the promenade there in Weymouth. But do you remember how Jesus countered the devil's attack by the use of scripture? Scripture that he had memorized, Matthew 4, verses 1 to 10. And I have found out that in moments when I had to counsel someone who had a difficult problem, or when I had to answer a question when witnessing to someone, the right verses came to my mind. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to remember what we have written, what has been written in his word, and what we ought to use from his word for each situation we encounter. This was true of Stephen. Here the Monday night Bible study group has a start on you as we read the Acts of the Apostles. The first martyr who was persecuted in the early New Testament church, Acts chapter 7, records the powerful message that God's word, that Stephen preached without any prior preparation when he was tried before the Jewish council. And the message he gave shows how well he had read and memorized the Holy Scriptures. What was it that enabled him to remember God's word and use it so well? Well, verse 55 of Acts chapter 7 says he was full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen was evidently walking in the Spirit at the time that the Holy Spirit prompted him what to speak from the Word of God. And this brings together the two responsibilities we have seen that we need to fulfill in order to be led by the Spirit of God. Firstly, our responsibility to keep in step with the Spirit consistently, and our responsibility to keep feeding on the Word of God. My dear friends, if you are faithful in fulfilling these two responsibilities well, your life will be yielded to the Holy Spirit, and God can use you to accomplish much for His glory. But if you do not fulfill these responsibilities, you may end up grieving the Holy Spirit. If you do not respond to the warnings of the Spirit of God through your conscience, you will end up in a backslidden state. Then you may experience the chastisement of God. And this was what happened to the nation of Israel, wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, since they did not respond to the repeated warnings given to them through Moses for grieving the Lord. And because of that, he chastised them quite severely several times. We should examine ourselves. If you have not been walking in the Spirit as you should for some time, and you do not heed the warnings he gives to you through your conscience, and then you experience different trials, this may well be the Holy Spirit telling you that he is grieved with you. So I trust that this will show you how important it is to walk in the Spirit. This morning we have learned what it means to do this. We have seen that it is not something that happens automatically or without personal involvement. And Paul encourages us by directing our thoughts to three verses. Verse 13, God the Father has called us. Verse 24, God the Son has died for you, for us. And then verses 16 to 23, God the Holy Spirit indwells us. You will have noticed that each person of the Trinity is assisting us in our battle against the flesh and the enemy. To finish, the Holy Spirit will guide us, the Holy Spirit will protect us, and the Holy Spirit will empower us. All we must do is to follow him by faith. Amen.